So, the talk tonight, I titled, as a variation title, I titled it, I Am Jason. But for you, it's not called I Am Jason. For you, it's called I Am, and then you replace Jason with your name. Okay? So at the same time, I want you to say, I am, not Jason, but I want you to say your name. Okay? And that's the title of this message. Got it? One, two, three. I am Jason. All right, let's do it one more time, but a little bit louder. I am Jason. All right. Thank you. You know, we live in a different day for sure than when I grew up. Can't believe I'm saying that. Some of you live in a way different day than when you grew up. That's right. That's right. How many of you have ever been on social media? Anybody ever heard of social media? Yeah. Everybody remember MySpace? Yeah? A MySpace, yep. That was before Facebook. Facebook? Anybody on Facebook? How about, I call it the Twitter. Anybody on the Twitter? Okay. Snapchat? Instagram? So on and so forth. There's probably a lot more that I don't even know. People post pictures of their lives, their thoughts, their opinions. Some of them are funny. Some of them are true. Some of them are not true. Some of them are really random, like, you know, like, I just washed my hands or whatever it is. They're telling their whole life story, it seems, nowadays on social media. I don't think the social media is bad. I don't have Facebook or the Twitter myself. I used to. It wasn't for me. Technology has made it so much easier to keep in touch and to keep tabs on the people that you grew up with, right? People that you're kind of curious, whatever happened to Jim Bob, right? You know, the person from high school or whatever's going on. What I want to ask you tonight is this. Is the person that you portray yourself to be, and I'm not just talking about social media, is it the person that God sees? How many of you looked at a post or looked at something that someone said, maybe on the computer or somewhere else, but then when you're face to face with them, you can't believe it, right? It's quite different than the person you see face to face. Or you see the people that portray their life as perfect. They only post the good things. Those people don't have any problems, do they? But things must be great. Very convenient. Is the person that you are consistent? Are you the same person inside and out? With family? With friends? At work? Here at church? If we hang out outside of church for a while, are you the same person? Do you put on Jesus on Sunday? Take him off Sunday night when you go to bed? Recently, I heard a story about a young man at one of the churches, the sister churches to CBC. And this young man grew up in the youth group, and this young man was very active in the youth group. And this young man, he portrayed himself to be a godly young man, was a leader with the youth, but was living a double life outside of church. Was out drinking, was out partying, was out hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing that, all the things that were different than the person they were in church. That young man, that this is the story, he went off to college. And that young man got saved. He got saved. God saved his soul. God saved him. That young man came back from college. But on the outside, that young man didn't seem much different than the person that he was pretending to be all along. But what people didn't realize that God had changed that young man's heart and God had saved him. You may be living a divided life. You may be one way at work and one way at church and one way on social media, one way with your family, one way with your kids. But God knows. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. He knows. We're going to be reading in Genesis chapter 27. Yes, I am going to get to the word. People are complicated. I was just talking to somebody this morning about that. People are complicated, aren't they? We're not even going to go into different genders. Not going to go there. Let's just say that all people are complicated. Our stories are complicated. Our backgrounds are complicated. In this day and age where, like, we can go from across the world in, you know, several hours. We're in one place. We're in another. We come from these backgrounds and cultures. Life is complicated. People are complicated. In the Bible, who are some complicated people in the Bible? Name them. David. David was pretty complicated. Anybody else? Jesus? Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else complicated? Lived a complicated life? Paul? Yep. How about Noah? It never rained. He's building an ark. Anybody else? Samuel? Okay. Moses? Abraham? Peter? Paul? Yeah, there's a ton. And then that's the same with you and I today. There's a lot of complicated people. Let's take a look at Jacob tonight. Let's take a look at Jacob and maybe we can learn a few things through the life of Jacob that we can take with us tonight in light of what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Father, as we get into your word tonight, as we study, I pray that you would be with us, that you would illuminate our heart to what it is you want us to learn, God. I pray that nobody will hear me speaking, God, but they would hear you speaking. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move tonight in power and that you would take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, we're going to read all 46 verses in Genesis 27 to talk about this story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. It says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, I am here. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love. And bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch from me hence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to his mom Rebekah, he says, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and he fetched, and he brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as the father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, "Here I am. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to thou that you badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy may bless, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near, and he kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be that be he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence, Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and he hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have given to him for servants, and with corn and wine I have sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of his blessing, whereas his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent a call to Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, and flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turned away." There's a lot, I know. I wanted to read over the whole story. Back in Genesis chapter 25, we see that that's when Jacob and Esau are born. It says that they wrestled even in the womb. They wrestled with one another. And Rebekah's like, "God, if everything is well, why is this happening to me?" Any other ladies felt that? And when Esau was born, Jacob comes out right after Esau, and he's holding his heel. He's holding his heel. And it says they grew up, and Esau was a man, a hunter, and Jacob was a man of the tent. Sort of like he stayed close to home, remember, like a mama's boy, right? Esau was more of like daddy, you know, daddy's kid. You know, he went out and he hunted, he gave him meat, medium rare, venison. So then we have this passage here that's coming, Isaac is like, I'm getting old, my eyes are dim, I'm 137. He's about 137 here, the ripe young age. About not 50 years older, right? <laughs> 137 is about the age where his brother Ishmael died. So he's thinking to himself, you know, my time has come. It's time to bless and pass on the birthright now to my son. And what does that mean? What is the birthright? Well, when the father would die, the estate would be distributed to the sons. But the person with the blessing and the birthright had dominion over them and got a double portion to take care of mom and to take care of all the unmarried sisters, etc. They got double that. So back in chapter 25, Esau comes in from the field. He's hungry. He's faint. He's like, I'm going to die. I'm hungry. And Jacob's cooking up some stew. And he says, can you feed me? I'm hungry. And Jacob says, yeah, I'll feed you. But first, you need to swear to me that I can have your birthright. And he says, well, if I'm going to die, what good is it to me? And he gives it away. So then here, there's this Rebekah's scheme, right, of getting Jacob to go in to get the birthright. And then obviously there is Isaac trying to give it to Esau. And we see what happens in the passage, that Jacob ends up with the birthright through his deceit. Anybody pick up on the passage, the line where Jacob says, well, I caught the meat because the Lord just gave it to me. He blessed me. Doesn't that just break your heart? That in order to be blessed, he throws out the name of God. That he threw out the name of God. I don't know if you have ever done that. Have you ever coveted the blessing of someone else? Have you ever coveted the blessing of someone else? Or pretended to be someone you're not? I know that I grew up poor. Single mom. Had a pretty tough childhood. And I really, as I started to grow and I started to, even when I was walking with the Lord, I started to see success in business. And I was really, really good at sales. When you're a poor kid, when you grow up poor and you don't have anything, man, it feels good to have stuff. It feels good to chase after that, to chase after stuff, to chase after that blessing, to chase after that. And not only that, sometimes you compromise the man that God wants you to be in order to have, you give up what you want most for what you want now. You give up what you want most for what you want now. So I can understand how that can happen. It's been 6.5 years since I've stood at a pulpit like this and brought a message. You and I, we can fool each other. We can fool one another. But you can't fool God. You can't fool God. What good is the blessing of Isaac if he can't even stay in the house after? What good is it? He's got to go away. Mama says go away for a few days. It ends up to be 21 years. Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man that he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" After the lie, you still have the lie. You still have to live with yourself. When you go home from church tonight, you still got to live with yourself. When I go home, I got to live with myself. When I wake up tomorrow, I got to live with myself. I got to ask myself, am I the same man in front of you, in my family, as when I go into my closet and I pray, and I stand before God? Am I honest with my Savior? Am I honest with God, with the man that He made me to be? Am I chasing after someone else's blessing? Am I trying to be someone I'm not? I've had to say, Lord, You probably don't want me to be a really successful man in business. That's just not what You want for me. I'm not going to be. I have to come to grips with that, and so do you. Not necessarily business, but whatever it is in your own heart, in your own life. What is it that you're chasing after that isn't God's plan, that isn't who you are? There are many me's. The me I am, the me I wish to be, the me I hope to be, the me I see, the me you see, and the me God sees. And I would venture to think that I'm not the only one in this room. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from Him. Every day, people are going to an eternal hell. Every single day, people are going into an eternal hell because they continue to lie to themselves that somehow this persona, this person, this avatar, whatever you want to call it, is good enough. You know, some of them right out reject Christ, and some of us, we sit with one another and then we live this double life. And we die, and we get to heaven, we get there, right? And God is separating out, right? The goats and the sheep, He's separating them out. And He says, depart from me, because I never knew you. Which one do you want to be? I know what I want. I want to stand before you tonight the same man that I am when I'm sitting in the chair. It's just what I want. It's not like I always succeed at it. But that's what I want. I want to be authentic and real and sincere. I don't want to be any different on Sunday than I am on Saturday. I'm just me. And that's my prayer for us as a church, is that's the people that we would be. A world is looking for sincere Christians. People that will stand for Christ, will share the truth, and live the life that they preach. We cannot walk around with our heads down high, victims. We are victorious in Christ. There's no reason to hang your head low. I've been through just as many trials as you. Maybe you've been through more trials, I don't know. We've been through the trials, but God is still good. Stop trying to be someone you're not. In school, it's hard. Your pressure's coming from every which way. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, young ones. Don't be ashamed of who God has made you to be. That's not the end of the story for Jacob. You all know, right? There's more. He spends 21 years, about 21 years in Haran, working for Laban, gets a couple of wives. We won't talk about that right now. Let's save that for another message. A whole litter of children, flock, all the things, you know, all the things of that come along with life and, you know, growing up and growing older and, and, uh, and wiser. And by the way, when he steals his brother's birthright, you can easily think, I his mom gave him some pretty bad advice. But honestly, I believe that he's around 76 years old at that point. I believe he's around 76 years old. The man knew what he was doing. Okay? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. So in Genesis 31, Jacob's instructed by God to return home to his people. Genesis 32, starting in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except that thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? As if he didn't already know. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevaileth. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob received a blessing from his father. But it was time for Jacob to receive a blessing from God. It was time for him to come face to face with God and receive that blessing from God. God said, I'll be with you, when he met him on the way to Haran. He says, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Bless me. Do we cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I will not let you go until you bless me, until you save me? This is a defining moment in Jacob's life. I find it interesting when we look at, when we go into the book of Exodus, chapter 3, when Moses is in front of the burning bush, right? And God is instructing him. He says, who should I say is sending me, as he's going to Pharaoh? Right? And what does he say? He says, I am ascending you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you know, the inheritance that man offers, the inheritance of this world, pales in comparison to the inheritance that's in store for those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ. We all have to come face to face with God. We all have to have a moment where we say, I am Jason. Whatever your name is tonight, God save me. If you're a Christian and you're walking rightly with God, and when you pray, I pray that you're honest with God, and you don't give him a piece of your confession, but you give it all to him. You cry out to him, save me, forgive me, bless my life. Because God wants to bless the person you are, not the person you want to be. Some good news. God has promised an inheritance for his people that far surpasses the inheritance that this world has to offer. Is that good news? You know what's even better? No one can steal that inheritance from you. No deceiver can come and take that from you. That inheritance has been signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody can take that from you. Do you have that inheritance tonight? Our inheritance, it's not based on any way on our own merit. Our inheritance is not of this world. Our inheritance is eternal, everlasting, never ending. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth no way, reserved in heaven for you, who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Your inheritance is sealed. Your inheritance, your eternal inheritance is sealed. But one of the questions I want to ask you is, do you want God to bless you and bless the work of your hands while you're still living on earth? Because he hasn't taken us home. The Lord he's not satisfied yet with the count. So we're obviously still here. Right? So why are we here? God wants to use the man or woman you are, not the one you want to be. You can't hide. John chapter 14, 1 through 3 says, let your heart not be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I am God. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming back. It may be tonight, it may be tomorrow, but until then, he wants to use you. He wants to use you, Christian. He wants to use your abilities. He wants to use your talents. He wants to use your heart. He wants to use you wherever he's placed you in this world. You cannot sit on the sideline. You cannot be the person to your left or to your right. You can only be the person that God has made you to be. Get up off the sideline and own the person that God has called you to be. Last verse. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We all know this. If any man will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny your own rights. Deny your own dreams, your own hopes for the sake of the gospel. Deny it all. Put it all aside. Cast it all aside. And every day I want you to wake up and die and follow me. You've got to die to yourself to be a disciple of Jesus. It's hard. But it's so rewarding. And it's so much easier with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So three things I just want to leave you with after that. Pray to God with an honest heart. Pray to God with an honest heart. You do yourself no favors when you try to hide from God. He knows. Be the person God has made you to be everywhere you do life in this world. Don't be different in front of your kids than you are at church, or your wife, or your coworkers, or your Sunday school class, or at the grocery store, or at the bar, wherever it is, right? And don't covet someone else's blessing, because God has a blessing for you.